days, but I needed that. Wasn't it just so good just to sit and be in his presence? And that final word from Carla, you know, the whole world doesn't compare to how God feels about my heart. Wow. How can we not love him? Great, and it's great, isn't it? Thank you, Carla, for bringing that. Oh, thank you, Kate. I did think I'd be okay. I'll be fine. It's been a bit of a week, hasn't it? I don't know. Put your hand up if you've been busy this week. Can I put two up? Put my feet up and everything as well. Honestly, this week has just been incredibly busy, what with church, work, family commitments, birthday celebrations. We had a music gig on Friday, didn't we, love? It was in Manchester, watching a brilliant band on Friday night. The Christmas fair yesterday. It's just been chaotic. But you know, this morning we prayed in the office and God reminded us, he fills us up afresh every day, doesn't he? Every day he gives us what we need if we just stop and let him in. And this week he's really reminded me about the importance of stopping and letting him in. Because, you know, when we're busy, we get going, don't we? We get on our treadmill and we're like, I'm going. And sometimes we can just stop, not forget to just stop and let God be. And, yeah. And I've put here, do you ever find yourself that busy that you forget to stop and take time out to reflect on your day, even? What difference have you made? Conversations you've had? How have you included God in your day? And you know, I think for me, and I'm sure it's the same for you guys as well, it's really important that we take some time out just to be still and to pause when we get really busy. And I find that that's when God makes me smile the most, when I stop, and because he just speaks to me. And I'll give you an example. So the other morning, I was in my bedroom getting ready, and I sit in the same place every morning on the end of my bed, and I've got my little mirror on my windowsill, and I do my hair and my makeup, and I get myself ready, and I'm busy doing all of that, thinking about everything that I've got going on in the day. And I'm sort of like praying at the same time, but not fully giving him me 100%, I have to say. It's sort of like a half-hearted, like, come on, God, what are we doing today? And I know I'm getting ready and that. And I opened my drawer up, and in the top of my drawer was this folded up piece of paper, a bit like this, like that. And it'd been there all year, maybe longer. Well, yeah. And I thought, what's that paper there? I pulled it out. And it was my word from last year on Advent. And I just sat there and I read it. Oh, man, what joy it gave me. And it was a really timely prod from God for me to slow down and just to enjoy the season and not to get that busy and that wrapped up in the doing that I don't actually enjoy everything that's happening around me and to just enjoy each day. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to bring that word again. And I rang Mark up and I said, I've just found my word from Advent last year and I really feel, I said, it's done me so much good this morning reading it. I'd like to bring it again. And Mark said, absolutely fine. He said, you know, you might want to tweak it. I said, and I have tweaked it slightly. I've slightly revamped it. But the essence of the word is still the same. And so that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. So right now the shops are full of Advent calendars, aren't they? Because it's the 1st of December tomorrow. And do you know what? I'm amazed at Advent calendars now. So did you know that the Body Shop sell a beauty Advent calendar for a mere £120? I know. Selfridges sell an Yves Saint Laurent one for £280. And fellas, Makita, you know, the old drill, they do an Advent calendar for you guys as well. It's full of drill bits and everything, apparently. And that's £80. You're a bit of a cheap deal compared to us women, aren't you? And I had to chuckle to myself. So, like, my youngest son is just gone away to Germany this weekend. And on Friday, just after he'd gone, there was a big knock at the door. And there's a man there with a big box, quite a big box. And it was Frau Luke. And I thought, what's he ordered now? From Costco. So I texted him and said, there's a parcel come. He said, is it in a big box, Mum? I said, yeah, it is in quite a big box. He said, will you open it? So I said, what's in it? He said, well, have a look. So I opened it up and it just was a blue, all I could see at the top was a blue lid and it had my protein on it. So I thought, what's he ordered? He said, it's a protein advent calendar for my girlfriend, Molly. a protein, I don't know, I'll let you know when I see it, but a protein advent calendar. You can get everything now, can't you? But you know, when we were kids, when I were little, I used to have a little paper advent calendar, and it had no chocolates in it, it had no gifts. It just had a lovely little picture behind each door, maybe a robin or a bell, and I'd look forward to 24, because that would be Mary and Jesus, and baby Jesus, Mary and Joseph. And every day you was a day nearer, weren't you, to Christmas Day. And that was the world. I didn't need an expensive advent calendar. But, you know, there you are. These days, it's anything goes, I guess. Life was simpler back then, wasn't it? Hey. I must admit, for the last couple of years, I've not bought advent calendars. I used to do all the time. I used to buy the chocolate ones for the boys. But they're older now and they don't bother, and they're buying their own protein ones. There you go. So what is advent all about? Well, it's not about chocolate for sure, or beauty advent calendars or any, or protein ones. It's so much more than that. And we're going to have a little look at that this morning together. So we start really, I thought, well, let's start in the dictionary and see what that says about Advent. And it gives two definitions. It says the first one is the arrival of a notable person or thing. And the second one says the first season of the church year leading up to Christmas and including the four preceding Sundays. So I understand the first definition and I can see how we can relate that to the birth of Jesus. The arrival of a notable person or thing. And, you know, I remember from my days belonging to an Anglican church, the season of Advent and the lighting of the candles in the lead up to Christmas. Interestingly, the word Advent isn't actually mentioned in the Bible, but the theme and the scriptures associated with Advent most certainly are. The English word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, I think I pronounced that right, which means arrived. And this word appears many times in the Latin Vulgate translation of the Bible. I'm being very good here, aren't I? Considering I've got no theology experience. And themes of preparation and anticipation of someone arriving are often mentioned and alluded to, both in the New and the Old Testaments. Did you know the earliest mentions of the tradition of Advent are actually from the Council of Saragossa? And these were a series of Christian councils that met in Spain. So it was a bit of a history lesson for you as well this morning. And researching further, Christianity.com explains Advent is a four-week period of reflective preparation for the arrival, the Advent of Jesus Christ's nativity at Christmas time, as well as Christ's expected return in the second coming. It's a balance, you see, of remembrance of Jesus' birth to Mary, his first coming, but also the anticipation of looking forward to Christ's second coming. And that was quite a revelation to me last year, because I'd always really only considered the first coming. I never thought about Advent looking towards his second coming. And the four Sundays in the Advent season all represent different themes. The first two represent hope and peace, focusing on what's to come, the hope of eternal life, of heaven on earth, of Jesus' eventual return, and the peace that will come with all of that. And the second two Sundays focus on joy and love. The joy being a follower of Christ, that brings that, and the everlasting love we experience from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, as a Pentecostal church, we don't really focus on the four Sundays like other churches do. But that doesn't mean that Advent isn't relevant to us. And as I've learnt more about Advent and considered what it means, I realise actually that Advent is something that we practice all year round. It's not just on the lead up to Christmas. It's not just a seasonal thing, you see. Our hope and our peace of things to come and the love and joy we experience here and now in our walk with Jesus should be reflected in all our conversations and all our actions daily throughout the year, not just on the lead up to Christmas. And you know, we can all be guilty of letting today slip by because we get busy planning and focusing on what's to come and with practicalities. And it's really easy to fall in that trap of busyness at any time of the year, not just at this time. But, you know, Matthew encourages us In Matthew 6, it says this, it encourages us to live in the moment and not worry about tomorrow. And it's Matthew 6, verse 34, and it says there, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And what this verse is encouraging us to do is to focus on what we need to do today and not worry about tomorrow. It suggests that worrying about tomorrow prevents people from enjoying today's blessing. And that's my real heart for Advent. I don't want to miss the blessing of today because I'm that busy doing stuff. You know, and the blessings come in all shapes and sizes. I'm just going off script here a minute. Yesterday at the fair was a real blessing. The amount of conversations I had with people and just the joy in those conversations, they're little blessings that you can miss if you're that busy focused on other stuff. So it's the little things that we have to look out for. I want to mark the start of this Advent season differently. I want to find ways to demonstrate hope, peace, joy, and love in some way every single day with someone. And then I want to take it into the new year and carry it on. So we often speak about being the consistent, calm voice in this chaotic world that we live in. And, you know, many of our friends and family members and people that we encounter will be struggling with anxiety and mental health problems. And we're not immune from that ourselves either. We, though, should be the soothing balm to those around us because of the hope, peace, joy, and love we experience from our faith and love of Christ. Let me give you an example. When I took a phone call from a new CAP client who had called me in tears because they hadn't been able to get all their paperwork ready for our appointment, and they were sobbing so much they could hardly speak. You know when you're like that? Except to say that, hang on, what am I put here? They were sobbing so much they could hardly speak, except to say they didn't want to have to rearrange the appointment, but they hadn't got the paperwork together. And I could hardly break through their sobs, such was their distress. But, you know, I calmly asked them to just stop and breathe and explained it didn't matter that they'd not got the paperwork for that meeting and that we could get to the paperwork the next time we met. And the relief from the other end of the line was audible. And when we met that following day, they said to me, "Do you know what, Lisa? It was like being bathed in warm water having that conversation with you yesterday. You lifted a weight." Now, in reality, I hadn't done anything. Their situation hadn't changed. Their debts hadn't changed. But just the impact of that calm reassurance was used. It was just a telephone conversation. And it doesn't take a lot to bring some light into people's lives. Years ago, when I was at a CAP conference, I remember Matt Barlow demonstrating to us how we can make a difference. Some of you will remember Jonathan Bonill, who used to be a member here. He started out, Jonathan, as one of my CAP clients, and he came to this church and he gave his life to Jesus. Then he started working for CAP, and he now lives in Australia. But Jonathan had such a turnaround in his life, and Matt wanted to demonstrate that to all the CAP workers were there. And so they put poor Jonathan, if you can imagine, like a cubicle all blacked out. So he sat in this blacked out cubicle, can't see any light or nothing. And there's a spotlight shining on this cubicle, but Jonathan couldn't see that because it was all black. And then Matt showed us how every reassuring word, every act of kindness would pierce a hole in the darkness where Jonathan sat. And he simply had a pencil, and every time he spoke a good word, he punched a hole in that black paper. And he carried on doing it. And eventually that spotlight was shining on Jonathan and he could see the light. And it was just small acts of kindness, small words spoken of encouragement. And it can make such a difference. So as we navigate December, think about the message of Advent, hope, peace, love and joy. Then think, how can we bring that to every individual that we encounter? How can we be God's beam of light in the dark places? How can we be a calm, consistent voice? Now, maybe it's just smiling and laughing with the person serving you in the shop. Maybe it's smiling with the person in front of you in the queue and making some polite conversation. Maybe it's offering a lift to someone in need, or just giving a hug to a family member or a friend who just might need to hear that they are loved. Giving some of your time to volunteer, maybe at church or in the community, or giving to the Christmas appeal, thanking somebody for their time on their services, or just being a good friend. There are so many ways that you can impact people's lives. We just have to be present in the moment and not miss the opportunities God places in our way every day. And you know, we can look for the Bible for inspiration too. There's so many examples in there. In Luke 10, the Good Samaritan who showed compassion to a Jewish man who had been robbed. This was despite Jews and Samaritans being sworn enemies. Rahab, who hides the Israelite spies and saves them from certain death. Ruth's loyalty to Naomi, despite the hardships they faced. Ruth could have left Naomi and sorted her own life out, but she didn't. She stuck with her, saying, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." In Mark 10 and Luke 21, we read about the poor widow who had so little but still gave two small coins as an offering at the temple. And Jesus commends her, saying, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." And in Genesis 45 and 50, Joseph demonstrates remarkable kindness to his brothers who had betrayed him and left him dead. Despite their past mistreatment of him, Joseph forgives them and provides for them during a severe famine. And Joseph reassures his brothers, saying in Genesis 50, verse 20, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph's forgiveness and kindness is a wonderful example of the transforming power of grace and compassion. The centurion who displayed remarkable faith and kindness to his servant, the centurion recognizing Jesus' authority, asked him to heal his paralyzed servant. And Jesus marvels at the centurion's faith, declaring, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." That's in Matthew 8, verse 10. The centurion's concern for his servant demonstrates his compassion and empathy towards those under his care. Abraham's hospitality to three strangers in Genesis 8, verse 4. When he sees them, he rushes to offer them food and drink, saying, "Please, a little water be brought, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree." Abraham's kindness extends beyond mere hospitality. He prepares a meal for them, showing genuine care and generosity. And in Luke 7, verse 50, we read about the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears and hair. And Jesus said to her, "Because you believed, you are saved from your sins. Go in peace." Jesus himself healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He taught people. He cared for widows and children. He dined with sinners. He reached out to the woman at the well. There are so many more stories of compassion, love, and kindness throughout the Bible. And these are things I believe people crave for. We don't see it often because of the culture that we live in. It's so selfish. It's like a weed that tries to throttle and block out the acts of kindness that do take place. And you know, we had a lady yesterday, first time having a stall here, and she said to me, "I've absolutely loved it." And she said, "You know what's made the difference out of everything? The way you've looked after us. Just coming around asking, 'Do you need a drink? Do you need to go to the toilet? Do you want someone to man your stall before you go for lunch?'" She said, "You get left at many, many places. You set up and no one's interested, but you looked after us." Little kinds of acts of kindness. It makes a massive difference. A couple of years ago, I was helping a client who had a really messy situation. He was desperate to get his life turned around and deal with his debts. I get upset every time I think about this. He asked about me and my faith, and he always asked me to pray. And he shared that when he was a little boy, he went to church with his nana, who was a really big churchgoer. And he believed in God, but he said, "I've lost my way a little bit." And, you know, life had got in the way for him. And that Christmas, Julie and I went and met him at a cafe in Ashton, and we gave him his Christmas vouchers, you know, the appeal that we do. And he was so overwhelmed and so thankful, and he gave me and Julie the biggest hugs when we were leaving. And he said, you know what, you've restored my faith in mankind. I didn't think there was so much kindness out there. Sadly, the following summer, that man died. A young man, unexpectedly. But, you know, I believe that his encounters with us reminded him of who God was and who Jesus was, and I'm believing he's celebrating in heaven. Over my 16 years working for CAP, I've lost 4 clients, but I believe every one of them allowed me to pray with them and explore their faith and have conversations with me. So I believe not one of them were lost and that they're all in heaven now. And I didn't do a lot. I just listened. I just cared. I prayed. Little acts of love and kindness can bring hope and peace to people's lives. So, in conclusion, let's embrace Advent, not through calendars. Over the next week, be really intentional about shining a beam of light in people's dark places. Show them what hope, peace, love, and joy really looks like. And once Advent is over and the big day has arrived, take it into 2026 and carry on doing that. And that's it. Thank you.